DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane.
Two Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. Paul Russo, across from me or next to me, whatever we are, however you want to call it. Nick Felice. Nick, when we were here last time, we were discussing the bubble, NCAA tournament. Right, yep. Who's going dancing? We already might have had some issues arising that, like we predicted. But we also had NFL free agency. We got, for combined both of us, we have one team, and for us, an extra one that we have in the New York State Final Four for basketball. So we got a couple different things to get to today. So not bad little Wednesday jaunt down the Fresh Take path.
How about this to start, since it's college basketball, yeah. A couple weeks here. Happy 15-year anniversary yesterday and today, technically, of Syracuse-UConn overtime game in the Big East, I believe, quarterfinals.
That's true, yeah.
And 2009, mm-hmm. Yeah, technically you get the anniversary 2 days in a row. This is the anniversary of them actually winning the game, but a lot of dramatics yesterday anniversary, but yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see something like that ever again. Don't know. I think the highest is 9 overtimes, some game way back in the day, but definitely the highest postseason, longest postseason game in college basketball history, maybe basketball history, but That was a great game. 15 years ago. Can you believe it's been 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. They had Boeheim on the call for a couple of the games yesterday for the ACC tournament, and I know during the Louisville and NC State game, one of the games that he was on, they brought that up, and kind of funny the reaction. It was a 3-person crew for that game, and I'm pretty sure it was 3 for all the games yesterday. Either way. But they brought that up. It was kind of funny. And I think it speaks more to the lasting longevity of what was the Big East and still is the Big East to a degree. The fact that they're talking about that during an ACC tournament game. And probably helped, you know, Boeheim was on the call. It's probably really the only reason why they really brought it up the way they did in a game like that. But, for anybody saying, I guess anybody saying that the Big East wasn't number one or anything like that, you know, it's a bit of a lie.
Let's be real. As much as Notre Dame has had the success in the ACC is just the Big East. The ACC took the Big East tournament's time slots. Big Monday is dead now, but they took their Big Monday time slot for a couple years there on 7 p.m. Monday nights. Literally, they just became the Big East because the ACC was nothing. The ACC was trash. It was UNC and Duke, even though it's kind of like that still today. But UNC, Duke, and then that was it. All these other teams. These teams are so thankful that a couple teams came in. It's only been a few teams that popped over. Notre Dame, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, now Louisville. You know, they're so happy that we came over because we made their conference what it is today. And I will always agree with them. Big East bias. Obviously, Notre Dame's not the Big East. They're not the Big East. But we were in the Big East when it was hot, when it was 16 teams, four games in a row, 3 days in a row in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So I'm Big East all the way. And the ACC should be thanking us for coming to their conference and making it great.
I mean, I don't disagree a little bit there. Don't know who would have phrased it the way you did, admittedly. But, hey, to each your own here. Let's get into the March Madness stuff here, because I think we might be able to plow through this a little bit quicker, obviously, than I anticipated. But we do have some bids already locked up. One of those already kind of wiped out one of the things we were kind of discussing last week a little bit about how you know, all it takes is one win for one of these bubble teams that was a perceived lock via an auto bid, and it kind of throws everything sideways. Yamac bids right now sit as this. Longwood out of the Big South, which was not the team I expected. They kind of came on really strong in the Big South tournament. I had High Point pretty much as the team to lose there, and I think everybody did. And now High Point finds themselves on the outside looking in, which is unfortunate. They've had a really good year, I think I'll save my spiel about this for another team here in just a minute. Maybe not quite the same boat as this other team coming up, because I think the other team is much better. But it's one of those cases where if you're High Point, you'd have a pretty fair gripe depending upon what happens. Charleston for the second year in a row, Charleston Southern coming out of the CAA, now the Coastal, not Colonial, Athletic Conference. Oakland coming out of the Horizon League. I think it's their first automatic bid since 20...
It's been a while.
I want to say 14 or something like that since they joined the Horizon. This is where... Okay, table that one for a minute, circle back, because they go in chronological order here, not ABC order. Wagner out of the Northeast. Again, I don't think many people probably had them exactly pegged out of the Northeast, but either way, they're coming out of there. The Seahawks. For, I believe it's the eighth time since they've joined the Summit in 2012, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits get the automatic bid there. James Madison out of the Sun Belt, no surprise there.
Good team.
They were one of the cases I would probably say if they didn't somehow get it, we probably should be some sort of bid in. And then St. Mary's out of the West Coast Conference, despite being the one seed, was a numerical upset over Gonzaga in the championship game for the West Coast last night. And that leads me to this one where I think this really comes into full effect, what we're talking about when we talk about bubble madness, bubble shrinking, stuff like that. Drake won the Missouri Valley, gets the lock. They defeated Indiana State in the conference title game a few days ago. Look, Drake is a team that up until a few weeks ago had a really compelling case to be an at-large team anyway. Really compelling case. And now they find themselves locked into the tournament on back-to-back seasons for the first time, Nick, since you know when?
Since Drake and Josh was on air.
No. 1968 and 69. The Bulldogs lock themselves in there. A little trivia time for you there.
Yes, yeah, but this Indiana State now.
Right, but this is exactly what we talked about last week, right, where we brought up more as a concern from outside coming in, not so much inside to inside like that, but it happened, and, you know, Indiana State finds themselves as one of the last four in, depending upon what person you're looking at, has them as the last team in.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a BS thing, if you will, that they are. This is something we can probably get into a little bit here. It's interesting because...
So you said they have them in Indiana State?
Yeah, for now. But yeah. This is what I mean by that. Like, all it takes is one kind of run, I mean, by any teams at this point on the bubble within these conference tournaments to get through and get themselves in. I know we talked a lot about the ACC last week involving that because there's three teams really there that kind of find themselves on the bubble of some way, shape, or form, being Pitt, Syracuse, and Wake Forest. You know, you look at the other leagues, a team like Texas A&M, could they do something to upset the boat? Stuff like that. It's interesting. One of the teams on the bubble that a lot of people, to me, they're on the bubble. Some people have them as a lock in. I wouldn't put them in. I have them on the bubble as, I guess, a courtesy, if anything. I don't think they belong in. You know, Indiana State's like, they lost by 9 at Michigan State this year. And it's funny how people use that to Michigan State's advantage when they bring up the bubble, but not to Indiana State's advantage. And it's kind of weird. Not that there's anything in my mind as a good loss or anything like that, but for Indiana State to go up to Michigan State at that point and do that to them at that point of the year back in December, I just don't see it as a one-way street. It's got to be a two-way street. So, excuse me, it will be interesting to kind of see how the committee, as we get to Sunday, kind of plays this out a little bit. Oh, I forgot the Southern. Sanford clinched as well. Forgot about that. Apologize to...
First time since Sanford. 2000.
Yes, so I apologize to the Sanford. Also,
yeah, I don't think any of them are
also
watching.
Bulldogs, Ohio Valley. Ohio Valley with Morehead State. I forgot a couple of these on here.
Quick shout out.
Apologies. Yeah.
They haven't won it yet, but 8 of the last 9 years, American East, Vermont, the Catamounts are going to the championship
game. Catamounts aren't quite there yet, but yeah, they have to face UMass Lowell, where Elvis Presley famously went to college.
Catamounts?
He didn't actually go to UMass.
Oh, did he?
No.
I didn't know. Yeah. But the Catamounts trying to win their 4th straight American East title. But going back to your other point about Indiana State, it's the conferences like the ACC and the Pac-12 they got to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. Because right now they're not a conference with a lot of teams in, right. But they're going to have some at-large bids.
Yeah.
So if like a Syracuse, who I think should be a little bit more considered, but a team like Syracuse or a team like, you know, teams that are on the bubble, Wake Forest, Pitt, yeah. Those type of teams, they go out and win the ACC tournament. Someone in the Pac-12 wins the Pac-12 tournament. Indiana State's gone.
Yeah.
Teams that weren't guaranteed spots and get a spot, Indiana State cannot be rooting for those teams.
Right.
That's what's going to come down to it. It's not just Indiana State. It's all those teams that don't come out with their – they're right on the cusp, don't come out with the championship.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing too, because I look at the list right here, and we have a couple clinchers today. The Patriot League is today. I believe that is Colgate and Lehigh. I want to say Lehigh and Colgate in there. Southern, or it's the Southland. I can't remember which one that's there, but I'm pretty sure that's Chattanooga. And the other team's escaping me right now. There's a lot going on here. And then there's nothing until really.
A lot of tournaments.
Yeah, there's nothing until Saturday, really, looks like at that point for clinching purposes. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And like we said last week, I think, you know, this is the tough part with it being a 68-team field, 32 auto bids. There's always people left out who should be in, right? And the interesting part of this, right, is it'll come down to, like, how the people kind of perceive some of these Power Fives, mainly the ACC this year, right, where it's like, we talk about Syracuse and Wake and Pitt, and, you know, I mean, we talked about Syracuse kind of going on a run potentially, or Pitt or Wake, but, like, you know, North Carolina State hasn't exactly been a pushover a ton this year. At the same token, they've had moments where they look like they're don't know what they're doing on the floor. But, like, when they're hot, they're good. Like, all it takes is one of these teams to get hot when you should be getting hot, and ruins it. And, you know, that's the tough part where if you're Indiana State, now you're just kind of at the mercy of, you know, wherever, whoever and wherever, you know, happens to play right on the right time.
It's a long, you know, 5 days they got ahead of them here.
Yeah.
That's the problem with these mid-majors, that some of these tournaments, there are some that play till this weekend, but some, like Indiana State's, they finish their tournament earlier. Mm. Kind of hurts you.
Yeah.
I remember the one year the Big Ten, for some reason, played the Big Ten tournament week before this week.
And, yeah, that's right.
And it hurt them. I think they only got like 4 teams in the tournament that year. People just forget about you. The committee's just like a lot of recency.
Well, the tough part is, too, because of the Big Ten that year is because they end up sharing a site with somebody.
Yeah, I think they were both at the Garden.
Yeah.
It's the Big East, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I mean, the smaller ones, you kind of see that maybe every now and then-ish, but like, yeah, I mean, I think the earliest I'd want to get done is maybe, like, today. Like, we go live and tape on Wednesday here. I think Wednesday would probably be the earliest I'd want to wrap up, personally, now.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen because, one, venue stuff, but I think it's more TV contracts, too, for a lot of these smaller schools where it's, like...
That's why some of the women's tournaments are already done,
like
too.
Your only opportunity is to get on your ESPN2 even, it's like, Sunday. So it's, like, you just kind of run with it that way, and that's that.
I think... They guarantee at least ESPN2 or ESPN for your championship every conference.
Yeah.
You at least get that for the championship. Yeah, but yeah, it's all about TV and locations and all that stuff. I know that's the reason why, but it hurts you, though, playing a week early, finishing a week early.
Agreed. All right, let's transition over here. Normally we wouldn't talk about this really until kind of collectively everything happened. But first day of the NFL year and free agency kicks off.
And I like the NBA.
Boy, did we have some big names on the move for a change, it felt like. We'll touch on all of that, obviously, individually here. There's kind of what I would call the big three of sort that occurred, at least in my mind, and probably also you, Nick, unfortunately, in that as well. But, yeah, it kind of caught me off guard, the amount of movement, one, that there was. You kind of got the idea with some teams, I think, just by the way they were making some cuts and stuff. Like, Buffalo didn't make any moves, but you could tell they're trying something different. They cut five key guys, who's, well, as I always call it, the numbers didn't match the numbers, a.k.a. the money didn't match the age type thing with a couple guys. It's pretty interesting. It's weird that I'm going to start here because nothing's kind of really happened with him necessarily, but, like, T. Higgins, it's probably going to be playing somewhere other than Cincinnati next year, barring what I would call a monetary miracle of sort. That kind of kicked things off, and then you just kind of saw everything kind of trickle in after that point until it kind of felt like it was a full-fledged open up the faucet and everything's kind of flowing out. It's weird. Like I said, I feel like we don't see this a ton from the NFL. Where it's like you just have a bunch of guys on the move like that when free agency opens up. But it happened, and I'm kind of excited for it because, honestly, if it wasn't for that, we would probably be talking a little bit longer about the bubble when there's nothing else to talk about today. And that would be our podcast for today. But luckily, we have to talk about some NFL free agency.
It was the day of the day or two of the running backs.
Yeah.
That was a huge, like, you say all you want about how these running backs don't get paid, but man, did they want them on this week?
Right.
They went fast. A lot of big names. Obviously, Saquon to the Eagles.
Well, you brought up the first one, so I'll let you go there first.
Yeah. I'll be this guy and just say, what has Saquon really done?
Okay. You went there.
Obviously, I know New York. You know New York.
I do.
We know these teams. We overhype players.
Sure.
We like to do that. We overhype players. There's always, like, you know, I don't know if it really was with Saquon, but there's always, like, one big play that makes you popular and famous. And Odell was that catch against the Cowboys. And even not even New York, DK Metcalf, his big play was chasing down Buda Baker there. There's always like that one play that makes you famous, gets you noticed. And, you know, Saquon, New York got him noticed and hasn't played a full season, maybe once, I think one time.
Sure.
His impact is definitely there. Obviously, I don't know if you'll defend me on this statement, but you'll defend me a little bit that Daniel Jones is a decent quarterback.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think, like, yeah.
It's just, I mean, I'm going to defend my Giants and Daniel Jones, because 2 years ago when we made the playoffs, they said all that was because of Saquon, which I just disagree. Saquon was a part of it. It's a team sport. He was a part of it. But Daniel Jones won a lot of games that year.
And it was funny seeing the discourse on Daniel Jones. I know we're talking more about Saquon.
Yeah, here, but
it's funny seeing the discourse from what I would call, at least in my life, like 75% of Giants fans, it's like 180 all of a sudden on Daniel Jones. Like, it's,
and they really,
it's wild to me.
Daniel Jones got brought up a lot this week because of Saquon leaving. And they're like, really, we're going to stick with Daniel Jones and not Saquon? And a lot of the Daniel Jones hate has come out this week about him. And I'm going to defend him a little bit. I don't know if he's the guy.
I'll defend it here for you even a little bit. It's easier, and I don't mean it necessarily in this, like, simple sense, but it's easier to find a replacement for Saquon than it is to find a replacement for Daniel Jones. It's just that simple.
Yeah, especially that's how running backs are. That's why they're not getting paid. They're easy to replace. They say reset the clock, you know, as they say. That's what goes to the quarterbacks more. But we signed Devin Singletary. Mm-hmm. And Devin Singletary had a really good year last year, underrated year. And that's just our offense. We have Daboll. When he was at Buffalo, they're a passing offense.
And to back up your point, too, with that, and it's kind of funny because you watch some people just, like, with the science, like, the Eagles got immediately better by bringing in Saquon. Well, the guy they let walk in this also signed, to, like, just completely dunking on DeAndre Swift for no reason. And look, when they're both healthy, I still think Saquon's the better running back by far than DeAndre Swift. I mean, it's not like DeAndre Swift was like a slouch back there. Like, what the hell?
Underrated. I don't know why he didn't get more carries. Right. And let's be honest. The reason the Eagles were bad last year wasn't because of the running back.
No.
Definitely not.
I don't think it was really a problem for anybody on the offensive side of the ball in that sense because of my drift.
Yeah, you improve a little bit, but Swift is a good running back. So I don't think they improved that much.
Oh.
And it's not like the Giants had a great day that day, too. They acquired Burns. Mm-hmm. They signed some offensive linemen. They brought in Singletary, who I think you're paying half of Saquon's contract for.
I don't think you're paying all of the Burns deal up front either, right?
No, I don't think
so. Because of the trade?
But that, yeah. And then Singletary, you're paying half of Saquon's contract. And I think he gives you over half of his production of Saquon. So I think that's a great deal. Obviously, Dable worked with him in Buffalo. So, I mean, that's what kind of offense we are. He's more of a pass catcher. Saquon could definitely do that stuff, but that's what Singletary is known for, is pass catching. So, I thought it was a great day for the Giants. Yeah, we lost Saquon. I knew this day was coming. Last year when Daniel Jones got the money and they gave him the franchise tag, I knew this day was coming. Yeah. I just wish it wasn't Philly, but he wanted his money, and they were giving him.
I mean, it's tough, too. Saquon's what I would call a Northeast kid, pretty through and through, right? And being from what I call the generalized area, went to college in the generalized area, has now played all of his pro ball, what will be in the generalized area. I mean,
and I think the Tiki Barber quote, they said, "You're dead to me." I think that got caught out of proportion.
I see, but this is where I will disagree with you. I mean, remember the stink he caused, to put it bluntly and mildly, because I just don't want to worry about what I'm saying fully right now. About like when he retired and he gave the keys to Eli Manning and he thought Eli Manning fumbled it and did nothing the rest of his career besides chastise Eli Manning for no reason. I mean, Tiki just kind of seems like a curmudgeon to me. So, like, could they be a bit out of proportion or context? I think, sure, maybe a little bit. But, like, at the same token, like, this is just Tiki being Tiki. Like, he just appears to be, frankly, a prick. Like,
yeah. He's not one of my
favorites, but yeah.
I mean, I like that he defended the Giants. I mean,
which is weird considering he couldn't wait to get out of there by the end of it. And
you know, they won without him. But
it's what I'm kind of getting at here, right? Is the fact that like Tiki's just Tiki.
It's one thing if it was like Ahmad Bradshaw or something.
Way off of him. I got some stock in Ahmad still.
But
I mean, do you think it's also a little bit? I mean, not to go fully down a different path. You think it's a little bit too because like Saquon was just more endeared by like Giants fans too. By the end of it, no matter what, of their 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of think of it as.
It could be worse. It could be Dallas.
You know what I mean? Well, what do you mean by that? Actually, I know what you mean by that. We can do a full circle on them because of a couple names that we're going to be discussing here anyway. So.
But let's not talk about my running back, Liam. Let's talk about your new running back, Austin Ekeler.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, for me, I don't even put it as, like, a top five signing yesterday or anything like that. Or
I got it in my top five. But
Well, here's what I mean by that. I think the Barkley's like a top five signing because of just, I think it's, even if it's not so much on the field stuff, I think it's just the name brand and the name brand meeting together. I think Derrick Henry to Baltimore is huge. Like, and we haven't brought that up yet, but we will next. Like, I think that's pretty big. I guess it wasn't a signing, but like the Joe Mixon to Houston thing's very interesting.
Could be top five moves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose maybe in terms of signing.
Kirk Cousins.
Oof. Well, that's top five for me only because of just.
How much money they keep giving this guy.
It's not so much the money. I think it's the years for me more than the money. The money's kind of on track for the quarterback thing the past couple years, even at his age. I think it's just the amount of years they gave him that sticks out to me. 4 years, it's like, damn. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we talk about the running back thing, but, like, Josh Jacobs to Green Bay is big to me.
Aaron Jones is a free agent now?
Well, no, he signed with Minnesota.
Oh, right.
So, I don't know. I guess for me, it kind of lingers lower than them a little bit. And maybe that's just me kind of, like, trying to be tempered with my expectation of it. But, look, it's great. I mean, it's going to be him and Brian Robinson in the Washington backfield now, presumably, anyway. It's strange. I mean, you know this. I've had Austin Ekeler in different fantasy leagues for 8 years now in terms of his career of being like a fantasy guy. probably had him a handful of times collectively across a couple different leagues and stuff. And, you know, when he's on, man, he's great. Boy, that's the main issue with him. It's always been the health.
Chargers
and
get Gus Edwards to replace
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm trying to keep my expectations tempered. I mean, I got a couple texts from a couple different people, and the only way I can actually properly equate it is when Washington brought in Adrian Peterson. And it's like, I think worst case scenario is they just eat the final year of this 2-year deal and Eckler goes to like Arizona to retire or something like that type deal, like AP did.
It could be worse.
Right.
You could have Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah. I mean, God, do I want to go there just yet? No. I want to stay positive and then I can derail the Steelers in a second. But yeah. Yeah, I want to do the Derrick Henry one because that one to me is probably the most important of the bunch, at least to me so far. Only because we know this Baltimore team, I don't think their window's closed. I don't think it's exactly wide open either. And I always say that because we know what this team prior to yesterday was. And, you know, you mentioned Gus Edwards, free agent. He ends up going to the Chargers anyway. And I don't know the exact timeline. I'm guessing he probably caught wind of whatever, so he just decided to get a deal while he could type deal, quote unquote. But like JJ, for all the hype we give, and justifiably so to J.K. Dobbins, right? Like that dude has more talent than I think anybody knows what to do with.
He just can't stay healthy. Not even like a week.
No, and like we talked about that like with Eckler just now, but like J.K. Dobbins is like literally can't go away without getting hurt. And I think we know what Lamar is at this point, right? I think we know what that team in its current form could do up to this point. You have to go out there and get somebody that can really complement Lamar at that point. And look, I'm still a big Derrick Henry guy. I'm still one of the guys with him. I feel like I would not want to get in his way downfield, and I would be more than thrilled to keep that way. But he probably only has still a couple of years left, really, where it's the full tank type deal. And, you know, that's what the deal is. It's a 2-year deal. I think that's what Baltimore kind of visions it as, right? Is like they really only have a couple years to probably figure this out, what they got. So why not and go and get a guy where it's, frankly, a better player. Like, to me, this isn't like when they brought in Odell, you know, Derrick Henry is better than OBJ at his given position by miles. Miles ahead. And
New York City overrates him.
Yeah. Odell at his peak was probably the... I don't know if he was better than Terrell Owens or Randy Moss at their peaks for us in our lifetimes, but, like, Odell at his peak, man, was damn near unstoppable. That's just the way it was. But anyway, you know, I just think it's one of those deals where Baltimore kind of read it as like, if we're going to get this done, we need to get it done ASAP, and why not bring in the guy that, you know, I'm trying to think of a good other sport comparison to this. I guess it would kind of be, in a way, a little bit like the Dodgers last year bringing in J.D. Martinez, in a sense, you know. Like, hey, we need kind of like we need a guy who can smack the ball around and do it well. And this is a guy who is still, you know, doing it at a really good clip and can help us push us over the edge. And the Dodgers were the Dodgers and couldn't get it done. But I think that's kind of the closest thing I can imagine to right now in a sense of like what they tried to do. It's just one of those things where I think it's just Baltimore. Yeah, I'll call it this way. I think it's Baltimore's home run shot more than anything else. You know, like I said, the team, that window's still open. I don't know about how wide it's open, but I think it's wide enough that they view it as like, we got to go and we got to go now.
Who gets more rushing yards, Lamar or Henry next year?
Ooh, what do you think? You're the fantasy guru.
Not a guru, but
you're the commish.
I'm the commish.
You know all. I lose a lot.
I'll go Henry.
Okay.
Which, you know, I picked the running back. But
well, in theory, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think he'll do really well in Baltimore. A lot better than he did. I think people are saying, oh, he's getting older, he's going down. I think Henry's going to have a nice, great season next year. Wouldn't call it bounce back, but, you know.
Well, I mean, it's they aren't the same system, but it's eerie how similar the systems are in Tennessee to Baltimore, where passing is not the end-all be-all, even though, you know, Baltimore's not afraid to air it out. But, you know, I mean, you got a guy like Derrick Henry, sure it makes it easier on a quarterback, you know.
What an option. You got a guy in Lamar who can run. You also have an option in Derrick Henry who can throw.
Right.
Scary.
It's true. That's true.
Tennessee used it a lot at the end there. But, no, I think that's the best signing.
Yeah. I mean, I agree 100% with you on that.
That could put Baltimore right back on top of the AFC.
Yeah, let's get to that Kirk thing here for a couple moments.
Now, you're a huge Kirk.
Yeah, but, like, again, it goes back to my theory of this, like, even it's tough to even find average quarterbacks in the NFL type thing. So, true. I mean, if you're Atlanta, you do have weapons, you know. It'll be interesting to kind of see now that they have a veteran quarterback how that stuff actually turns out.
Like, oh, Ritter's not the guy still?
No. It'll be interesting.
Is Atlanta good?
Can I get to what I was going to say? To quote, and it's going to be interesting to see, and I'll say it by quoting Matthew Berry, is Kyle Pitts free? I think we might finally be able to unleash Kyle Pitts for what he actually is.
I don't know.
You know?
Didn't he have Matt Ryan 1 year, or is that, did he not?
That was the end of Matt Ryan, though.
I don't know. Is he going to be good?
It's also his rookie year, though.
Shouldn't he be showing some kind of signs of being good? I just have not seen anything from Kyle Pitts.
Ooh. But anyway, back to the bigger point.
Actually, he did do good his rookie year.
Anyway, back to the bigger point, though, of Kirk Cousins. I do think that this unleashes Atlanta's offense a little bit, right? I mean, you have a really – yeah, God, it's weird saying it this way. You have a really good potential three running back system of Bijan Robinson and – Tyler Allgeier and Cordero Patterson. but, you know, you look at the weapons. They have really good weapons. Obviously, London, Pitts.
Still got Roddy White?
No. It'll be interesting to kind of see if they try and go out and get anybody as, like, a number two-ish.
They need a receiver. Running backs are great, though. I like them.
Kirk might be running for his life a little bit with that offensive line off the bat. That's my concern with Atlanta now at this point. It's like, that line's not exactly great.
They need to go out and draft a lineman.
Yeah. But I think if you're Atlanta, getting Kirk was beyond needed. And it didn't have to maybe necessarily be Kirk, but I think it needed to be a guy like Kirk where it's like, you know, he's good. Like, let's plug in, get a vet quarterback who's good, plug in with the young guys, and let it ride. And new head coach, Raheem Morris. I mean, I'd say the future's looking good in Atlanta. I don't know about how great it will be necessarily this year while they try and figure things out, but, like, this is probably, for me, the second biggest signing yesterday.
What did Kirk get? How many years?
4 years. And that's where, like, we talked about, like, I know you're caught off by guard by the money. I wasn't caught off guard by the money. I was caught off by the years because it's just...
That's probably the end of his career.
I would imagine. I mean, unless they give him kind of like a 1 or 2 year extension to go on top of that type thing, and he just does it to do it. But, yeah, I mean, this will take him through his, what, year? Year 16, right?
And who would have thought a guy like that would 16. Have a 16-year career?
Yeah, I mean, third round
pick. Not just a 16-year career, 16-year starter career.
Pretty much, yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, he's barely been a backup, so I give him credit, man. He's gotten the money. He's done a good job. Been to the playoffs. Obviously, there's not too many quarterbacks can get over the hump. Look at Dak Prescott. Still can't get over the hump. So,
it's true.
It'd be interesting who the quarterback in Minnesota is. You think Justin Fields?
Well, that's the big one, right? Because Fields was always connected to Atlanta for some reason. Baker re-signed with Tampa.
Sam Darnold went to Minnesota.
Yeah. it's always one of those things where it's like people always clamor, like Dak and Kirk are always like the main two, right? about how, like, these quarterbacks, they always complain about how they're just being average and they get you to the playoffs and that's it and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, until you know what it's like on the other side, you're going to be really wishing you had them back. And at the moment, if you're Minnesota, in theory, we have to look at it through this prism, right, that they aren't trading up or anything like that in the draft. Sam Darnold's your number one.
Yikes. Justin Jefferson ain't going to like that.
And they ain't moving Justin Jefferson.
Is he signed there?
I think he's still on his rookie deal, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the fourth year of the rookie deal. So,
that the last year or you get six?
Well, it's 4 + 1, as I call it, because of the options. So, and they have to make that decision by, I forget which week it is technically in the NFL, during the regular season. So, I don't know. All right, let's talk a couple other of these minor signings. Tony Pollard signed in Tennessee. It's interesting because Dallas thought he was the future. And through, like, week four, I would have agreed with that last year. And then the Cowboys were the Cowboys, as I call it, in a sense, and moved away from him. And then all of a sudden they get linked up with kind of the mix of the Saquon stuff, and all of a sudden they find themselves on the outside looking in, because in addition with that, obviously DeAndre Swift, as we mentioned, goes to Chicago. We didn't mention the team exactly, but
Ryan Burns
up with Chicago. Yeah, but he's not running back.
Oh, you're talking running backs.
Yeah, mainly. Right, Eckler to Washington, Jacobs to Green Bay, Jones to Minnesota. I think Alexander Madison's still a free agent. But if you're Dallas, you kind of swung and miss, I think, at the bigger crop of at least the veteran running backs to go. And look, I mean, we talked about it too a little bit already, how you can just kind of go in and out, and you brought it up, Nick, so I bring it up kind of here. But if you're Dallas and you lost key pieces elsewhere, you lost a couple guys to Washington on both sides of the ball, for example, in free agency. Where did Michael Gallup end up? Did he sign? I thought I remember seeing him sign him. I can't remember. But,
well,
either way, I mean, if you're Dallas, you're on the outside looking in, weirdly enough, at this point. It's like, what the hell happened here?
No running back. You know what that means. Dak throws more.
Yeah.
Which, that's what he wants. That's not what Cowboy fans want. But, yeah, Dak Prescott's not going to throw 80 times a game.
Oh, we have breaking NFL news, actually.
Michael Gallup.
No. The Chargers are cutting Mike Williams. Wow.
Just can't ever stay healthy, that guy.
No.
Talented player. Can't stay healthy. Him and Bosa. Both on that team. They never stay healthy. They just cut him.
Yeah.
There you go, Dallas. Go get him.
I'm in the hunt for Michael Gallup news.
Yeah. Well, Michael Gallup hasn't really been relevant in a few years.
Well, he's still listed with the Cowboys at the moment. Yeah, who knows?
Fletcher Cox retired.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce obviously retired.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Lock, backup quarterback in Giants. Tyrod, backup in Jets for the first four plays. And that'll be the starter.
The Jaguars are being weird right now. Did
Jaguars?
Yeah, I thought I remember.
Oh, they just got Gabe Davis.
Yeah, yeah.
Poyer goes to the Dolphins.
Yeah. So where's Calvin Ridley end up?
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Atlanta.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
They need a receiver.
That's true.
Giants are a receiver.
Yeah.
But I think they're trying to get Harrison Jr. Yeah. I am hoping they can get him.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other minor signings. Antonio Gibson to, like, New England, stuff like that.
We got to wait to see how this draft plays out.
Yeah.
This is a huge draft for some of these teams.
I think we won't see anything, like, today or tomorrow, but I think, you know, a couple more days of maybe heavier, quote-unquote, stuff with not maybe bigger names, but where it's kind of like those bigger role guys get moved and stuff like
Seahawks getting rid of losing Drew Lock definitely means they're drafting.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He's Giants backup now.
Oh, really?
Yep. Tyrod's backup to the Jets.
Oh, I did see that. Well, he might be the starting quarterback in the Jets.
That's where I said my joke. He'll be the backup for four plays.
Wow.
But
my joke about that is the fact that Aaron Rodgers might be doing a political career all of a sudden. So
I heard Steph Curry's into politics too.
Is he really?
I saw a post. Steph Curry running for president
with the shop boy.
Yeah, Drew Lock. With Drew Lock going to the Giants, that Seahawks are drafting a quarterback. Geno's gonna.
Wow, competition for Geno.
I think he's gonna be the starter. He's gonna train this guy. Something Aaron Rodgers was never good at.
No.
But even though Jordan Love definitely got some formation from Rodgers and Favre, yeah. Looks like him the way he throws. Yeah, I think Josh Jacobs is a really interesting one though.
I'm a big Josh Jacobs guy though. I don't know if I can be anymore because he was with Green Bay.
I think that helps him out a lot. I think Derrick Henry is the biggest addition for the running backs, but
yeah,
Josh Jacobs, Green Bay, I think will be good for him.
Yeah. All right, before we get out of here, let's do a quick man here because we're both off to Glens Falls on Friday. I know you're just there doing Lions, but we got Wayne and Lions on our end here.
I'm there from Moravia.
Are you really? Congratulations. yeah, I mean, Moravia too, Oakley. I mean, I think kind of forgetting about over in Cute County there, but they do draw Lions in the first game of the semifinal, but yeah, I know you were at Glens Falls last year with Newark.
Yep.
I've never been to Glens Falls.
Never been.
I've been on the girls' pee. I mean, Waterloo's just been too good. So
I call the arena nice little arena. Mm-hmm. It's like a mini Blue Cross arena.
Mini Blue Cross arena, huh?
Yeah, I feel like the Blue Cross is bigger.
Really?
I've only been the one time. It's a little bigger, I think, the Blue Cross. So it's like a mini Blue Cross. That's how I'll describe it.
Gotcha.
Going into it.
Well, this is the final year for at least another 3 years that it will be at Glens Falls. It's going back to Binghamton after leaving Binghamton to go back to Glens Falls a few years ago. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Lions' first Final Four appearance since 2015. Wayne's first ever. I don't know what to expect from these teams. Doing the research that, at least on our end, broadcast-wise, that we have to do, you kind of get opened up to kind of seeing stuff. And I haven't concluded much of it overall, but, you know, I may be able to get a couple of teams done for the championship game should Lions get there. And, you know, the other side of the Lions brackets, Mariah from Section 7 and Haldane from Section 1. And Haldane's been, they've been a pretty, I would say, more recent-ish on the scene team, but like consistently really good is what I've seen. I mean, they were in the championship game, I think it was last year in Class C or maybe 2 years ago. But yeah, this Mariah team that I got done right before we went live, actually, they haven't lost a sectional title since 2013.
Wow.
They have won one every year. Now they were in Class D from 13 to 18. And then since 19, they've been back in Class C. But it's kind of crazy looking at a stat like that in all honesty. It's interesting, though. I mean,
and yeah, in lacrosse.
It's tough, though. I mean, look, no matter what, it's tough. But, like, there's a little bit of a caveat. Like, Section 7 is, like, the smallest section in the area in terms of school numbers. Like, there's only 24 total schools in the section.
Really? Where's Section 7?
It's up in the northeast corner of the state. So
there's only 24 schools in the whole section?
Yeah. For a few years, they didn't even have Class A schools, like.
Wow.
All pretty small, smaller districts and stuff like that. But,
wow.
I mean, still have to go out there and play, and I think it's a example. I mean, I guess their coach is also retiring at the end of this year, so he's been there for a while. And kind of speaks to the program building. I mean, you look at Lions, and, you know, they've had obviously a few different coaches through the years at this point, but they've all been really good and been there for really long times in their own stretch. So, it will be interesting, but obviously Lions has Moravia up first, and it will be interesting. Wayne, I think, admittedly, has a little bit of a tougher draw. They're playing, I don't know, if obviously you probably haven't seen this because obviously you're on the Lions beat this weekend, but yeah, the team they're playing is from Long Island, Friends Academy from Section 8, it's just, I think it's always tougher kind of facing the competition like that because it is, even though they're also in A school, they have a bigger pool to still draw from and stuff like that, but they're a private school, so it kind of gets swept into a little bit of this like cross contamination, I call it, of stuff. And I don't know. I think it's just tough. I think Wayne got the tougher draw off the bat than Lyons did in their each respective classes. But, you know, Cam Blankenberg, or anybody that could do it for Wayne,
yeah,
lead him there. It's him. And then, obviously, for Lyons, it's it'll be interesting. I think Moravia does have a little bit, not a size advantage, but a couple guys that can match with, like, J.J. Johnson in the post, even though he hasn't been able to stop him yet when teams been able to match up. So, which I love. I mean, I know I've told him this a couple times, and we've talked about it, but, like, being the old school big guy that I was back in the day, I love watching him go to work because it's just, I mean, it's chef's kiss watching him.
Him and Blankenberg, only yeah. Sophomores too.
Yeah.
So
they ain't going anywhere.
No. Yeah, looking forward to it. Always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We got a long break in between games, yeah. But yeah.
For Friday we do.
Could be Saturday. What's Saturday though?
Well, Saturday it's more different. It's I think Wayne's if they make the championship game is at 5:15.
That's not too bad.
And then if Lions makes it, it's 8:45 again. But the tough part is I think our hotel checkout time is like 10 a.m. in the morning, Saturday. So we might be. I know there's a mall across the street from where we're staying. Maybe hit up that. I saw there's a Texas Roadhouse up the road. You know, may hit up that. Who knows? All depends.
But, man, sectional Class A is tough. I can't even imagine yeah. State's Class A.
Right.
You're going against the best of Class A. Right. So, best of luck to Wayne and Lions. Should be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Like I said, I've been on the girls' side of it now more in the past 2 years, and you know, I finally get to go to Glens Falls, so I'm looking forward to it. And, yeah, I mean, knock on wood. I haven't seen any weather shifts, but it's going to be nice not having to deal with snow for the first time and 3 years of doing postseason work at all. Love it. You know, it's going to be great. Not going to complain one bit.
It did snow a little bit this week, but.
Right, but, like, nothing. I'm talking, like, travel-wise. Like, last year, we had to pull off for the night. I couldn't get any further than Fultonville at the time. And even then, in the morning, we had to actually divert a little bit because I couldn't get any further than Westmoreland and Verona because I just couldn't see anything in front of me. So
yeah, it's always exciting for these teams to get to this point, but always bittersweet because it's the end.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the beauty of it. All right, that'll do it for Fresh Take Sport today. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, listening, watching, wherever you are. Nick, who are you shouting out today?
Shout out my Aunt Sheila, mm-hmm. Jack DeRue's mom. My sister's mom, my mom's sister, Aunt Sheila. It's her birthday today.
She's turning 29.
29, so shout out Aunt Sheila. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Aunt Sheila. 29th birthday.
Apparently.
Everybody's 29, Nick.
If it's my sister's mom.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that. And because this isn't Alabama Takes, I'm going to get out of here on that one. So appreciate everybody for tuning in, listening back again next week. We'll talk with everybody then.